You are listening to Agincourt Church's audio podcast. The following message, Saying Yes in Temptation, is the second part in our Straight Up Jesus Life series, presented Sunday, September 25th, 2016, by Pastor Keith Smith. For more information on Agincourt Church, including service times, how to connect, and campus locations, please visit our website at onechurch.to.
When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created.
I was visiting Sunday school classes with their children, and I think this is junior high class. Now, the kids in all the classes had been primed. Pastor Keith's coming. What questions do you want to ask him? And so I was with the junior highs, and we got used to each other, have a little bit of fun, and then they knew what each other were going to ask. And you could see this sort of tension coming into the room where one kid just sort of, you know, whether he was voted in to ask the question or whatever, but he said, Pastor Keith, and he's really awkward, are you ever, and then he's blurted out, do you ever get tempted? What is there about temptation where people think temptation is sin? Of course, Jesus was tempted, right? In all ways, just as we are, yet without sin. See, there's a distance between temptation and sin. Did you have a good time in your community groups last week? 57 of them. I did with our group. And we saw that in trials, God wants to deepen us. We're going to see that in temptation, God wants not to deepen, but he wants to deepen us too, but he wants to deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from temptation. Matter of fact, God's not even in the temptation business. James 1:13, he just stays deep. James dives right into the topic of trials, and he just keeps swimming over deep, doesn't even come up for breath, just goes right into the topic of temptation. And he says, no one should say, God's tempting me. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God is not in the temptation business. But then he goes in and does an x-ray, like an ultrasound on temptation. Let's spend the next few moments going inside a temptation to see what it looks like, as James teaches us. All right? Each person is tempted. There we see that temptation is very personal, very individualistic. Listen, what lures one person away into destructive behavior may not hardly have any kind of allure or attraction or enticement to someone else. Discipleship Journal surveyed their readers and heard back from them. It was interesting. I was a little surprised when I heard the answer to their question, what are the top temptations that you struggle with? You know, what's the most challenging temptation that you struggle with? It must have been a North American audience, because you know what the number one was? Materialism. You know, coveting, wanting things. Second one was pride. Very honest, pride. Third was self-centeredness. Fourth was laziness. The fifth one and the sixth one, that they tied. Anger and bitterness tied with sexual lust. Next was envy, then gluttony, and then lying. Those were the top ones that these readers struggled with. Now, if you took part in that survey, what would you have to say was the one you struggled with more than any other? How many want to know what mine is? None of your business. It's individualistic. It's personal. All right? Each person is tempted. Let's look at another phrase. When by their own evil desire. Now, let's get this straight. Desires are not evil. Desires are good. So many desires are God-given. For instance, what about the longing for God? That desire for the living God, for spiritual reality, that God has installed in us. It is hardwired in us to reach out with our spirits to the living God. And then the desire to be safe, to be secure, that's good, that's healthy. The desire for needs like food and water. The desire for sexuality, that's a God-given desire. The desire for things, to enjoy things, beauty, creativity. In our lives, God planted all of those desires in us. The desire for fulfillment, for making a difference in the lives of others. God has installed that in us. So then it begs the question, then how do those good desires become what James calls evil desires? How do they get from a good desire over to an evil desire? Watch this now. We'll explain more. This may sound heavy at the beginning, but we'll unpack it. A good desire becomes an evil desire when you begin to think of how you can fulfill that desire outside of God's intention for it. Did you hear that? As soon as I begin to think, okay, here's a good desire, but how can I fulfill that desire outside of the way that God wired me to experience it? That's when a good desire becomes an evil desire. So I can have a desire for the living God. I want to know God. And that can become a legalistic religion. I can have a desire for justice. That can become revenge. I can have a desire for sex that can become lust. I can have a desire for things that becomes covetousness. I can have a desire for food, good desire, amen. Good desire can become gluttony. Temptation takes a good desire and tries to lure and entice you over into seeing it fulfilled outside of the way that God intended it to be fulfilled. So let's keep illustrating here. Fire is good. How many in January and February, you're glad the furnace is working, fire is good? And everyone said, fire is good. But talk to the people in Fort McMurray, Alberta. Fire needs to be contained, right? It needs to be kept in its rightful place where it can do something good. It gets out of that and it becomes evil. It becomes damaging. It becomes destructive. Water is good, really good. Water in the lungs, not so good. Sex is good. When it's contained in the place God intended for it, get it outside that place, does damage. Money is good. Money is good. Money, you can meet your own needs and bless others and help people like we did a few moments ago all around the world. Jesus says that money is a great servant. Money's a great servant, but when money becomes a master and it rules, it calls the shots. How many know the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil? How does it get over to evil? A good, something good can become evil. Temptation tries to lure you to take something that God wants to be good in your life. He wants to bless it and makes it into something destructive and damaging and demeaning in your life. All right, so when each one is tempted, when by their own evil desire, they are dragged away and enticed. Here, James is using a word picture. He's talking about a bait on a hook or a bait in a trap. And to get us to focus on the bait, the enticing bait, what looks so good, and not even see the trap. You know, even in the English language, we say people are hooked on drugs or hooked on pornography. We have this idea it gets control over them. But watch this now. We're going to move towards a very helpful teaching, I think. But in order to be dragged away, can you see the handles on each side of this? In order to be dragged away, you have to have something to get a grip on. There has to be some contact, something, some way of getting a hold of. In order to be dragged away and enticed, you have to have something that you are providing for powers of darkness to get a hold of. Now, after evil desire has conceived, how many understand not all desires are evil? He's talking about evil desires here. When they have conceived, conception takes place. A little bit of sex ed here. Two entities come together and there's conception that takes place. In the case of temptation, what comes together? What are the two? Good-looking bait in the trap and a good desire that's going bad. When they come together, temptation takes place. We're looking at this x-ray now. What does that union produce? A destructive monster. Do you know what the most destructive, damaging, evil power in the entire universe is today? Sin. Sin. Just doing anything without the way that God intended it, it ends up damaging, destroying relationships, health, beauty, purity, creativity. It just messes it all up. And so he says, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Gives birth to death. Death to what? Well, have you ever been part of someone, they're unfaithful in a relationship and there's death to trust? That's pretty nasty. Death to blessing when you look at what could have been in someone's life. Death to potential. You know, remember that story? It came to my mind this week as I was praying over this message for you. And I remember the New Testament talks about Esau. But if you go back to the Old Testament, what is Esau? He comes out from hunting. He's hungry. He's listening to his stomach. Jacob the deceiver has a bowl of beans. Remember? And he gives up his birthright to have a bowl of beans. And then the Bible says in the New Testament that he regrets it. And he sought to have that blessing. It would have blessed every day of his life going forward. He sought to have that blessing with tears. This man just crying, wanting to have that decision to do all over again. How many have found with the devil there's no refunds? No returns, no exchanges. Makes you very, very thankful for the one Jesus who provides redemption. Amen? That was weak. Amen? Because the devil's like, no return. No, you're the loser. Sorry. You. And there's Esau. I think the saddest moments in my, 77, I began pastoring. Since helping people, and even other pastors who have given into temptation and gone into destructive behavior, I think that some of the saddest moments are when people say, oh, if I only had that moment to do all over again. I just regret. And look how it's messed up my relationships, messed up my health, messed up my life, messed up my job, my future. It just destroys and it damages. All right. So we need to understand that we can say yes in temptation, but we can say yes to one of three persons. First of all, we can say yes to the deceiver. Yes to the deceiver. James says, do not be deceived. Who deceives? Well, the Bible tells us the job description of powers of darkness. They are the accuser of the brethren, their father of lies, and they are the deceiver. Jesus says he comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. And so he doesn't take that approach. He deceives. He deceives, if he can, the very best people on the planet. He'll try to deceive them. It started with our first ancestors. I mean, if the devil had have come to Adam and Eve in this glorious paradise, the Garden of Eden, and it said, I have come, Adam and Eve, to kill, steal, and destroy. I think they would have said, out of here. Out of here, you evil one. Get out of here. We belong to God. So he doesn't come that way. He just comes. You know what he wants to do? He wants to start a community group. He wants to have a Bible study. He says, hey, let's talk about God. Let's have a little study. Just the three of us, small group. Very small. Let's talk about, has God really said? Like, let's just sort of, talk about theology here. Has God really said? And he gets them started there. And then watch now what's happening. He's getting them to focus. And he says, you know, he said, don't eat from that fruit. Which one was it? That one. Amidst kilometers of trees all around you that are all good for food. This one. And he gets them to focus on that one. That's how he deceives. He gets us to focus on the bait and we don't see the hook. We don't see the trap. He hides what will do the damage. He hides what will get us into the bondage for years to come. You know, I don't know about you, but there have been times when I just talked Esther into making this purchase. I said, Esther, we got to have this. And you get talking to the salesperson and say, you're going to have this. And you go, oh, this option. Oh, boy, yeah. That. And you get it home and you don't even use the option you paid extra money for. Right? You know, it reminded me of this couple who had gone for financial counseling because they were in big debt. And they were making it worse every month. And so they got them on a budget. Her thing was she loved not only to shop, she loved to purchase when she shopped. And when she was put on a budget, okay, we want you to enjoy shopping. We know you love to shop for clothing, but here's your budget for this month, all right? And so she was doing fine for a few months. And then one day she was out shopping and she saw this beautiful dress that she had to have, gotta have it, you know. Like Esau and the bowl of beans, gotta have it. Like Adam and Eve with that one piece of fruit, amidst, gotta have that one, gotta have, you know. So she was in there and she's looking in the mirror at this dress and she can't resist it and she purchases it. She goes home and later that evening the tension's there and she says, I got a confession to make. I purchased a dress today that I just had to have. He said, really? And they talked about it a bit more. He says, listen, when you're looking at that dress in the mirror, why didn't you say, get thee behind me, Satan? She said, that's exactly what I did. I was looking at the dress in the mirror all around in the circular. I said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, oh, it looks good from back here too. How many know if you say yes to the deceiver or get in a conversation with him, he's only going to lie to you. He's only going to deceive you. Yes to the deceiver, we can say yes to self. Yes to self. One of my heroes, a pastor that was killed because he stood up to the evil of the Nazis during the Hitler regime, Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was also an amazing writer. Listen to what he said. He talks about temptation here, and he says, in our members, in our body, in, you know, our mind and heart, thoughts, our feelings. In our members, there is a slumbering inclination towards desire, which is both sudden and fierce. With irresistible power, desire seizes mastery over the flesh. All at once, a secret smoldering fire is kindled. The flesh burns and is inflamed. It makes no difference whether it is sexual desire or ambition, or vanity, desire for revenge, or love of fame and power, or greed for money. Joy in God is in the course of being extinguished in us, and we seek all our joy in the creature. At this moment, God is quite unreal to us. He loses all reality, and only desire for the creature is real. The only reality is the devil. Satan does not here fill us with the hatred of God, but with the forgetfulness of God. Whoa. Very honest. The focus to get for self and on self, that focus just gives space for the devil to come in and get control. Thank God there's another option, not just yes to the deceiver, yes to selfishness, but yes to God. Yes to God. And James, watch this. You'll notice if you read James 1, James bookends the topic of temptation in between two verses that talk about what we sang about today, the goodness of God. He says, God wants you to get through your trials and temptations and experience the crown of life. He talks about temptations, and then he says, every good and perfect gift comes from God, from the Father of heavenly lights. He doesn't change. He'll be always be there for you. He is good all the time. All the time God is. He's always there. And it's amidst that, because how many understand, in order for Satan to deceive you, he has to, like he did for Adam and Eve, get you to doubt the goodness of God. Somehow you or the devil has a better plan than God does. God's holding out on you. How many know God's not holding out on you? God wants to hold on to you so he can bless you and keep you every area of your life in a place where he can bless you and you won't do damage. He wants to protect you. He wants to give you the very best future possible. And so in time of temptation, we can say yes to God. Now, between now and the end of this service when we pray together, I want to invite you to learn from James an action plan. It's a yes to Jesus temptation plan, all right? When you're tempted, you have a chance to say yes to Jesus. And there are five steps to this plan, four of them are on the screen before you. Flush, fill, focus, figure out. I'll tell you what the other one is later. Flush. Look at James. He says, therefore, here's the flesh part. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Here's the fill part. And humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. All right, let's go back to flesh. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Get rid of all of that. I want to ask you a question. Just be honest before the Lord. What's in your heart or your home that acts like a trigger that gets you enticed into thinking about fulfilling your desires in a destructive way? What is something that just sort of trips you up in the whole area, this whole temptation area? You watch this, you see that, you think that, you do this. See, because here's where we're going here. Did you know this? The devil only has power when you give it to him. Did you know that? The only power he has in your life is what you give to him. You cannot be dragged away and enticed unless the devil has something to get a hold of. And if you don't give him anything to get a hold of, he cannot drag you away. Ephesians says, do not give the devil a foothold. Don't give him any access. Don't give him anything to hang on to. Now, in that context, it's something in the heart. It says, in your anger, do not sin. You know, it's not a sin to be angry, but as soon as you get selfish or revengeful or rageful with that anger, you are stepping over the line and you are involved in destructive behavior. He says, and when you do that, you give the devil a foothold. He has an access point. It can happen with lust. It can happen with covetousness. It can happen with any other area of a desire that becomes an evil desire. It gives the devil something to get a hold of. So I ask you again, what's in your heart or your home that you need to get rid of? To get rid of anything that's evil or filth. Just get rid of it because it's messing up your life. You know, whether it's on the computer or you need to protect from going to certain sites, whether it's activities that you just go on because you want to have friends and be accepted, some movies that just portray something that, you know, that just gets me thinking about fulfilling a desire that God gives me, but in a destructive way. How many need to get rid of credit cards? Don't anybody say amen. What about getting rid of people in your life that have no respect for you following God? And they exercise every opportunity. Listen, you say, I need to love everyone. Yes, you love everyone. You even love your enemies, but you choose your friends. Bad company corrupts even good character. And so you choose those you hang out with. Even if they don't follow Jesus, They need to be people who are respectful of your relationship with Jesus for them to be a friend of yours. And so we need to get rid of some things in our life. Some of you, you need to leave here and change your routine, because you go through the same thing and then you fall for temptation. You're enticed because it's just like a pattern, a routine that you have set up for yourself. You know, some of us are like this guy who broke the routine. He struggled with gluttony. He was overweight, and the staff loved him at work because he'd always bring in this coffee cake from his favorite bakery on the way into work, and the staff all had a piece. They thought it was just wonderful, so he was Mr. Wonderful. But they all supported him when he decided to go on a diet, and therefore he didn't even go by the bakery on the way to work. He found a different route to travel to work that did not take him by the bakery. And they were all supportive. And then all of a sudden, he was doing really well, losing weight. And then one day he comes walking in triumphantly with the coffee cake. And the staff said, "What's up with that? Are you breaking your diet? Are you celebrating? So like, what is going on?" He said, no. He says, "This morning, got up, went to work, driving here to work, and I forgot about going a different route. And I went right by the bakery, and I thought, this is no accident." So he said, "I prayed. I said, 'Lord, if you want me to go in, you know, the bakery and get my favorite coffee cake, let there be a parking spot right outside the bakery.'" And he said, sure enough, fourth time around the block, there it was, you know. How many need to get rid of stuff? You need to change your routine and stick to it. Stick to it. And if you mess up, you get up and you get back to doing what God wants you to do all over again. Amen? Flush and then fill. 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 The relationship, or the discipleship journal asked people, remember the people that were asked about what's your most challenging temptations? They also asked, when were the temptations most difficult to overcome? Watch this. The top two temptations were most difficult to overcome. Number one, when they were not having personal time with God. Well, that makes total sense, doesn't it? Because if you're not listening to God's voice, you're listening to other voices. You're filling that gap in with some other voices, right, that don't have the best intentions. And then secondly, when they were physically tired. Physically tired. Did I say in this service already, I remember one of my earliest conversations with, I can't remember if it was David or Matthew, one of the guys, and they said, "Dad, why did Adam and Eve have to mess up?" You know, and I knew where they were going. Their inference was, if they hadn't messed up, we'd all be better off today. And it made me think of, as we got into the conversation, yeah, I said, can you imagine if they had had a good dinner that night before the devil showed up? Like your mom cooks, you know, some pasta, you know, some good lasagna or chicken with roti or whatever. Anyway, some good food. And then if they're full and the devil shows up, it's not as difficult to say no to that apple, right? It's not as difficult because you're full. You're full. This same survey said that temptations are overcome best when, listen to this, 84% said when they were praying to God. That was the ticket. That was the secret. Second, avoiding compromising situations, staying away from bakeries or malls. Okay. And then third and fourth on the list, Bible study and accountability. That's when they were strongest. You see, we've all got this battle, and it occurs in our mind. One North American Indian elder explained it this way. He was a follower of Jesus, and he said it's like I have these two wolves in my head, and they're both battling each other. One wolf wants me to do wrong and get revenge and to be selfish. The other wolf in my head wants me to be kind and forgive and do what's right. And one of the ones in the circle asked them, which wolf wins? He said this, very telling. He said, the one that I feed the most. The one that I feed the most. How are you doing with feeding your mind the thoughts that are excellent and praiseworthy and in the scriptures? How are you doing with filling? Look at Romans 8. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. All right, so flush out the garbage, the sewer of falsehood and deception and messing up. Flush that out. Fill your mind with God's plan in the Scripture. And then third, now, by the way, first, what we've done with flush and fill in this plan, we've got ourselves right up to the moment of temptation. Here we are at the moment of temptation. And you know what you do there? Focus. Every temptation begins by trying to capture our attention, trying to get space in our minds, trying to get us focused on the bait, and we don't see the hook. We don't see the trap. That's the moment that we choose. Am I going to focus on what I'm being enticed to, this desire to become evil, to fulfill it outside of what God says about it? Or am I going to focus on the goodness of God? God, you have the best plan for this area of my life that I'm being tempted on, so I focus on you. Focus means to dwell on. He got Adam and Eve to focus, right? On that little bit of food with kilometers of food around them. Got Esau to focus, you know, the guy, the baker, you know, the bakery guy, you know, just to focus. Now, how many remember this truth? I think I taught it at least a dozen years ago, but the answer is not thought repression. Because here's the way a lot of people, when they're tempted, they say, oh, I can't think about sex. Well, guess what you're thinking about? Can't think about food. Guess what you're thinking about? That's a problem with a lot of diets. A lot of diets, people get obsessed with food. Because they're always thinking, well, I can't have that. You know, when someone is going to be baptized, you know, often people say, are you nervous? I know I wasn't before, but I sure am now. I'm a nervous wreck, you know. And so when I go to the class and I talk to them, I'll say, you know, because they'll say, oh, we're not used to being in front of people being baptized. By the way, a baptismal class has come up. It's a beautiful expression of I have decided to follow Jesus and going public with that commitment. Watch your bulletins for that announcement. But when I go and I visit the class, because you can just feel just the nervousness, you know, the big event is coming for them and they're not used to it and all that. And I'll say, hold on here. Who are you being baptized to please? Maybe family and friends will be pleased. They're proud of you. But who are you ultimately doing this to please? You're being baptized to please one person. His name is Jesus. You're giving glory to him. And how many know he's proud of you? He's pleased with you. So you let the other people watch, but you just go ahead and keep your eyes on him. Do you see that? So what we're talking about, not thought repression. How many have been with me over the last number of years? It's not thought repression that is the answer. It is thought replacement. Thought replacement. It's not that I'm not going to think about this. It's that I am going to think about this. Watch James now. Watch James. Submit yourselves then to, right in the heat of temptation, what do? You submit yourself to God. You resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now let's say these words aloud together with me. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Listen, dear one. The most important action you can take in the heat of temptation is just turn to God. Turn to God. I turn to you, Lord. You are good. You have the best plan for this area of my life. I turn to you. I trust you because you are good. I draw near to you and thank you. You are showing up for me. You draw near to me. Fourth, figure out where the exits are. When you are tempted, go into it saying, if this happens, this is what I'm going to do. You know, because sometimes people get involved in something, they get caught up in it, and then it's like Bonhoeffer said, you forget about God. Figure out where the exits are. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. You know, everyone's tempted. And God, here's a beautiful promise. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Someone say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You want me to be successful in temptation. You won't let me go beyond my limit. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. The old translation said, he will provide a way of escape. Know where the exits are. In your community groups this week, you're going to see, I think I asked the question, King David and Joseph were both faced with sexual temptation. What was different about the way they responded? How many know there's a difference between a gaze and a glance? You can't control the first look, but you can control the second. King David gazed. What did Joseph do? He glanced and then he ran. He ran and he did not leave a forwarding address. I mean, he was out of there. He was out of there. I love the attitude of this young guy. He said, what do you do when you're tempted? He says, I say, get thee behind me, Satan, and don't you dare push. Just had that attitude of, I don't have to give in to the evil one. I live for the king of my heart. I love that. So you know where the exits are. You know the standards you have. Don't let anyone disrespect you or push you into their mold. You decide, I'm living for Jesus. Figure out where the exits are. And number five, finally, all right, here's the fifth step. Finally, when tempted, say yes to God's best. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He'll be there for you, dear one. It's like this trunk. This trunk, my dad got it when he went into training in Saskatchewan for the Royal Canadian, what, please? Royal Canadian Mounted, please, because they started off on horses. And even when my dad took the training, because it was the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, they still made it mandatory that you took the horse training. You knew how to ride a horse in order to be a Mountie. And so that was the way it was at that time. And so when my dad was out in Saskatchewan, many paint coats later, earlier, this was his case. And inside of it, he kept all of his horse gear. Now, it's heavy enough without the horse gear, but he put all of the harnesses, you know, the leather, the bits, the cleaning supplies, and it was heavy. Now, when my siblings and I lived outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on a large acres of land on the ocean, we raised horses. You're going to get to meet my sister in a couple of weeks through video, with a horse that I rode, but we would take care of these horses, and this is where we kept the cleaning supplies, the harness. I mean, this sucker was one heavy trunk. And so one day I was trying to get my work done as quick as possible, cleaning up the stables and feeding the horses, and came time to feed the horses, and realized that there were no more flakes of hay in the bales that I had, and so I had to go up into the rafters and pull down a new bale of hay to feed the horses. And looked around, the ladder had been taken. Oh yeah, that's right, we took the ladder over into the garage. So it was a little trip away to get to the garage in the adjoining property, the garage attached to our house. And I was over at the stable, and I got the bright idea that I would use that trunk as a ladder. Not what it was designed for, as you're going to hear, not that it reached high enough, but I went over and I thought, I'll grab a hold of it and I'll bring it over to the rafters and I'll reach up and get that bale of hay for the horses. And so I pulled, and this sucker was so heavy. And so what I did, I was a teenager, come on, I decided I still wanted to take all the time to go get that ladder to do what was designed to be, you know, what it was supposed to be used for. I'd use this for something it was not supposed to be used for. And so I emptied it. I took everything out of it. I mean, a lot of heavy stuff was in it. And then when I emptied it, I pulled it over and I got it right up to where I wanted it, stood on it, reached up, and tried to get the, couldn't reach, so I jumped. I got a hold of, you know how bale has the string on it, the cord kind of thing. Got a hold of the cord, and guess what came down on Keith Smith? And I fell on the ground, and it was a mess, and I was hurt, and I regretted. This week, dear one, the deceiver's going to come to the doorway of your life, and he is going to try to get you to take a good desire and fulfill it in a way that's not the way God intended it to be fulfilled. He's going to try to get it to become an evil desire. But, the only way he can entice you and drag you away is if he can empty what's in there and find somewheres to get a grip on your life. Now, when the tempter comes this week, what happens if he comes to you and you are filled with the truth of what God says about your desires? What about if you believe and you trust God and what he says about money, sex, and power, and gossip and covetousness and things, and you just believe what God says. You trust him to have the best plan for every area of your life, and you are filled with the word of God. Like Jesus says, you remain in my word, and my word remains in you. How many know his word is weighty? His word is stable, it's strong, it's unmovable. It's permanent. It's forever. You have his word in you. You believe what he says. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. What happens if you are so? I'll tell you what will happen. The deceiver comes your way. He will not be able to budge you. He can yank all he wants. Not only that, he won't even be able to get that far. Because how many understand if these handles are our desires, and the only way that he can drag us away is to get a hold of an evil desire. If he comes to us and our desire is for the Lord, and our every area of our life that we can be tempted in, we say, God, I want your will and your way in that area of my life. If all of my desires are in alignment with what he says about them, they are good desires. There are no evil desires. And the deceiver will not have any space on those handles of my life to get a hold of me, because that space belongs to Jesus. And I stand strong in him. And there's nothing for the deceiver to get a hold of. Oh, dear one, I'm excited about today. I'm excited about today. I prayed for you this week, and I thought, Lord, how many people that are going to be here and hear what James has to say, and the whole future is going to be different for them, because they are going to stay away from what will destroy them, and they are going to move into where you will bless them. Well, that's the potential. In our moments of temptation, what do? Yeah, we prepare for them. We flush out the stuff that trips us up and triggers temptation. We stay away from that stuff. We change our routines. We change our thought patterns. And then we fill ourselves with God and what he has to say about it. We are filled with his Holy Spirit. We have our mind set on what the Spirit desires. And then when we get into temptation, we focus. Not on getting rid of the temptation. We focus on the Lord. We turn to him in that moment of temptation. We know where the exits are. We know what's going to happen if we get ourselves into trouble. And then finally, we say yes to God's best. Amen? That's a plan of action. And you this week, when you are tempted, I want you, before you leave here, to sing about it and to pray about it and say, God, that's going to be my plan of action when I am tempted going forward. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the scriptures. Jesus, thank you most of all that you want us to be successful in this area. You don't want us doing damage and destroying. You want us to move into where you can bless and will bring about the best blessings in our life. Remind us this week of this action plan. I pray for young people. I pray for older people. I pray for every one of us. Teach us that when temptation comes, not to fight it, but turn to the one who always overcomes it. To submit to God. Just resist the devil. He flees. We draw near to God. He draws near to us. So, Lord, may our song in closing be, teach my song to rise to you when temptation comes my way. Oh, you're my defense. You're the one who gives me the strength. You're the one who blesses my future, Lord. Help us to choose your goodness, we pray.
You were listening to the Agent Court Church Podcast. Make sure you don't miss a message by subscribing to this podcast. Click the subscribe button on our website at onechurch.to or search for Agent Court Church in the iTunes Store. All creative content and production for this podcast is provided by the One Church Creative Team.